Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
All right. Well, we're going to spend some time this morning looking at what God has called us to do, to primarily to be on mission for Him and with Him. You know, our Heavenly Father has a great plan for reaching the world. It's a plan that He has put into place since the beginning of creation. It's a plan for drawing people unto Himself as His children. Now, we are part of that plan. In fact, we are the plan. There is no other plan than for us as ambassadors of Christ to be obedient to the command to go forth into all the world and make disciples. There is no other plan for the redemption of the world than for you and me and other believers to embrace the call and to carry out the Lord's instruction. Now, open with me this morning. Let's get into the Word. 1 John chapter 4. And then we're going to go from there into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But 1 John chapter 4, let's read together with beginning with verse 19. You know, wherever you find your scripture, I'm a little bit old school. I miss hearing the pages rattle. Now what you're hearing is people on their phone, but that's wonderful. As long as you've got the Word before you. So what the old preachers used to say, those pages rattling sounded like angels' wings. Oh, that's sweet, isn't it? All right, verse 19. We love because He first loved us. Now, don't miss that. This is absolutely vital to understanding why we should share our faith. We love because He first loved us. He initiated love in our lives. Gave His Son, His only begotten Son, to die this death of disgrace and agony on the cross for you and for me. If you ever doubt God's love for a second, look to the cross of Calvary. There His love is proven. So it says that we love. Why? Because we're loved. We owe it to the world. We owe it to others. Because we have received grace, we should extend grace. Because we have received forgiveness, we should offer forgiveness. We love because He first loved us. Who claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. That's a harsh word. There are a few harsh words within the Scriptures, stern statements. But if we say we love God, but hate our brother or sister, or have hate in our heart, then the Scripture clearly says that we're lying. For the love of God brings about a love in us, an unconquerable love. A love that cannot be defeated. A love that surpasses all else. For whoever does not love his brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Now let me ask you this. Say that your brother or sister or your friend or neighbor or family member does not know the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. Then would it not be a loving thing to do to at least invite them to church where they can hear the life-saving message? In Matthew 10:8 it says, freely you've received, freely give. Freely we have received this wonderful grace from God. So we should freely give it. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writing here, of course, to the church in Corinth. He says, beginning in verse 16, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. In other words, he's saying, from now on, we regard everyone from an eternal point of view. I do not look at my brother Ron and think that this 180 pounds of good-looking manhood is all there is. There's more to my brother Ron than what you see sitting here. Is there not? He's a spirit being. And though this earthly body, will pass away and cease to exist, there is within him, through Christ, the potential for a resurrected body and an eternity in heaven, in the presence of Almighty God. Eternity. Gosh, can we not grasp it? So we no longer see each other and those we come in contact with in a worldly fashion. What I do, I look at Harvey, and I see Harvey not here, but I see Harvey in the presence of his heavenly Father in heaven with the choir of angels worshiping and enjoying the very presence of his God. Do this, moms and dads. You can see your children that way. We got to look at each other beyond a worldly point of view. This is all temporal. We spend a lot of time on it. You know, we spend a lot of energy on it. But the truth is, and it's a beautiful truth, is that it's all going to pass away. And what we will have is eternity. So, the call upon us as we are ambassadors of Christ, as we are bearers of the message of good news, is that we live our lives with an eternal perspective. Not only for ourselves, but for those we love. For those that we care about. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and, here we go now, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation simply means being made one. We have the opportunity to be reconciled with God through the work of Christ. Apart from the work of Christ, we cannot be reconciled to this holy God. For we are in sin, and we remain in sin, and it's that sin. Sin is the great separator. It is the separator between us and this holy God that created us and that we profess to love. So, this beautiful work of reconciliation, being one with God, this beautiful work of reconciliation that our Heavenly Father made possible through the gift of His Son and His life, death, burial, and resurrection, this beautiful gift is now been given to us to share with the world. We now are agents of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is ours to share, that others may be one with God. God reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us. Committed is a powerful word. This message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you. Now, Paul switches gears a little bit here and is speaking out to the unbelievers. He said, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay, this is clear. I hope by now that God's plan for reconciling the world, reconciling our community, is us, the church. Hear me, there is no plan B. It's us. His plan for saving the lost depends on us. It depends on us sharing His love and the life-saving message of Jesus. Now, that's what we're going to be talking about, myself on this Sunday and Pastor Michael next Sunday, about the importance of the church sharing their faith. There is no other plan. Now, I want to go a little bit deeper into this, and I want to introduce to you three words that will give us a plan for regarding others. Three words. That's the cue for the slide. Three words. Well done. You know, the only time we ever notice these guys that do such a great job in the back is when they mess up. But when they hit it like that on cue, we just take it for granted. Three words. I got them backwards, though. It should be invest, invite, include. Invest is first. Invest is number one. You know, people do not care about what you know until they know you care. You've all heard that, right? People do not care what you know until they know that you care. Investing is caring. Now, all of this I'm sharing with you this morning is in the context of inviting people or testifying or giving testimony or evangelizing people. Now, I'm going to talk about it in two ways. One is investing and inviting people over that you have a relationship with. Your neighbors, your friends, your family, your co-workers. You have the opportunity to invest in their lives, to show that you care, to earn the privilege of inviting them or to church or to sharing your faith. You see, that's something that has to be earned. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. If you invest into someone's life, it earns you the privilege of sharing. So, many, many ways to invest. We all know that. You can just show people you care. You can be kind. You can serve them when they are in need. Many, many things you can do. So that's one area of inviting and investing that I'm talking about. Another is just in your casual acquaintances. Just going about everyday life. We'll talk about that too in just a moment. But investing, think of it this way. And you can invest in 30 seconds, a 30-second investment. Barry Pallison, this gentleman right here on the second row, is here today because I invested 30 seconds in his life at the grocery store 10 years ago and said 17 years ago. 17 years ago at Ingles in the grocery line, he had more items than I did, and I said, here, you go first. There. 30-second investment into his life 17 years later. He's been tortured by my preaching for 16 and a half years. See, it can be an investment as small as that. As small as that. And we're going to give you a little tool in just a moment. Or when you leave this morning, you're going to receive a tool that will assist you in doing just that. But investing is like, think of it this way. How many gardeners do we have? All right, it's getting that time, right? Got a few gardeners. Have you tilled your soil? It's time, isn't it? It's getting close to time. What does, you know what I'm talking about, tilling? When you till your soil, it prepares it to receive the seed. You throw the seed out there on soil that's not tilled, not prepared, and your yield is going to be very much reduced, negligible. But if you till the soil, you prepare it to receive the seed, and the harvest will be greater. Spiritually, and in the context of this morning's message, tilling, investing is simply tilling the soil of someone's heart so that they will be receptive and receive the invitation or the testimony that you share. Start investing in people's lives with the intention of sharing your faith with them or inviting them to church. Now, we're going to get a little deeper into this too as we move on this morning. But that's invest. Step one. Step two is invite. Now, invite. I want you to do something this morning, right now, just as a little exercise. And take out your electronic device. Everybody take it out. Everybody got it? Go to Facebook. 80% of you have Facebook. Right? It's what the national statistic is. Up in, when you're in Facebook, up to the search, enter the Fountain Church. If for some reason you left home and got lost, that's where you are this morning. The Fountain Church. Everybody there? On Facebook. It's the Facebook page for the Fountain Church. Anybody? Everybody there? Okay, now we're going to do this. Oh, I got to do it too. All right. Now, it says up there, what are the first two words on the Facebook page? You belong. You're there. And there's some like birds on wires or something. I don't quite understand that, but they're walking together. They're flocking together. All right. All right, now, we don't have enough activity on the Facebook page to have it where it automatically says check in, but up in the right-hand corner, you see the three dots? You see those? Okay, click on that. Stay with me. All right, when you click on the three dots, go about halfway down, see where it says check in? Yeah? Somebody? Okay, hit check in. Stay with me now. Hit check in. Now it says, what's on your mind? Simply say, enter into that. Say, God is doing great things. Come join us. Enter that in. Everybody with me still? Gosh. All right, now hit post. Now hit post. How many of you did that, followed those instructions, and have done that? If you did that, raise your hand. Oh, okay, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Assuming that each of you have at least 100 friends. Who has, put your hands down. If you have more than 100 friends, raise your hand. All right. Man, look at you guys. Okay, now if you checked in, you did that, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 50, 55, 56, 65 people. We just invited 6,500 people to church. 6,500 people in 3 minutes. 6,500, approximately. 6,500 people. You got, based on how many had more than 100 friends, it's probably more like 10,000 people were just invited to the Fountain Church. It's amazing. That is something that you should do every single Sunday. Invite those. Oh, they're at the Fountain Church. I wonder what's going on there. Many of them attend church, have other things going on. But what if there are some that say, wow, I'm going to check that out. That's worth doing. Now, that's a casual invitation. Somewhat impersonal, but it's still an invitation. There are personal invitations that we can make with an investment. Always have an investment in the person you're inviting. Much more effective. Invest in them. Issue a personal invitation. Lifeway Research says that 80% of non-church attenders would attend if a friend personally invited them. 80%. Now we're entering into the most fertile season of church invitation that there possibly could be. Mother's Day and Easter. So just look at Easter. We have 6 weeks until Easter. Wouldn't it be wonderful on Easter Sunday to fill every seat that this church owns? Amen, right? Right now, I don't know how many chairs are out, but I know that we got chairs stacked up in the back that we can put out. But let's fill every seat. Let's fill every chair that we own on Easter Sunday. We can do that. If you'll invite. Now I want to do another exercise. A more personal invitation. A little deeper invitation. With maybe a deeper investment. Think right now. 6 weeks, in the next 6 weeks, who should you invite to service on Easter Sunday? You should think a little bit. Is it a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, a family member? Who can you invest in the next 6 weeks and invite them to come on Easter Sunday? If your friend knows you're a believer and attend church regularly, they're wondering why you don't invite them to Easter. If you've got a name, doing a lot of hand raising this morning. If you've got a name, raise your hand. Oh, man. Okay, we're going to take time out. What first name? Bob. Somebody else. First name. Yes, Joanne. Ronnie. He's here.
I know.
Another one. Oh, okay. I don't want to. Just Ronnie. Bob and Ronnie. So, yeah, back.
Saria.
Jim. Who else has got a name? Yes.
Sammy.
Chris. All right, we don't want to leave the other side out. Yes.
Brett.
Brent. Angel.
Aisha.
Emily. You got Emily picked out. That's right.
Stephanie.
Rodney. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up these people to you right now in the name of Jesus. Every name that has been called, every name that has been thought of, every name that has been singled out by someone in this congregation. Now, Father, I ask you to move in our lives, to invest in these people. Father, I ask that you would open doors, you would make a way. And I ask you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to begin preparing the hearts of these people that have been named and others that we will invite. That right now, Lord, you'll begin to move, you'll begin to work. There'll be opportunities that will not just be a moment in time, but will be a divine appointment, an anointed moment. We ask you for this, for we know that it is your plan for us to build your church. And for each person here, identifying a name, we lift them up to you now, and we pray that this will be accomplished for your glory and for their salvation. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Fill every chair. Why do we fill every chair? Because every person sitting in a chair represents a soul, represents someone. She's rushing the stage. All right. We invest. We invite. Then the last thing we do is we include. We include. Now, this culture of inviting that we're speaking of, and it's something that some churches get and some churches don't. Some churches think missionally. Some churches think about evangelism. And some churches just come together and do their thing. If somebody accidentally walks in, that's okay. But they're not intentional about reaching outside the walls. We want to be intentional about reaching out. You know, one church that really gets it is Hebron Baptist Church. You familiar with that little country church close by? I remember when they were. But the people of Hebron Baptist Church have an invite mentality. They have an occult. They have created within that church a culture of evangelism. This is how it goes when I meet someone or have met someone from Hebron. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Them. Well, yeah, it's nice to meet you too. Where do you go to church? That quick. Nice to meet you. Oh, nice to meet you too. Where do you go to church? I said, well, at that time I said, well, I'm pastor at Trinity Christian Fellowship. I said, oh, really? That's wonderful. So you're there every morning? I said, oh, yeah, I'm there every morning. They said, well, what do you do on Sunday night? I said, I'm trying to get over Sunday morning. But man, they got a culture of evangelism in that church. I long to see that happen here. Where we're truly not just gathering as a bless me club, but we're reaching out. We're serving, we're inviting, we're loving, we're tilling ground. And then the last part of this is include. Include. Now, when you leave this morning, this is before I get to include. Put the slide up of what you're going to receive when you leave this morning. You're going to receive an envelope. Yay, nay. Is that? Oh, yeah. When you leave this morning, that's what you're going to receive, an envelope. You see what happened at the Academy Awards? I thought it was great. Talk about reaping and sowing. You're going to receive an envelope when you walk out those doors this morning. It's going to look like this. And in that envelope, you're going to get, you can't really, to the right-hand side of the screen, an attractive window sticker for your automobile. You'll receive, if you need more, we'll get you more. But you're going to receive this to stick on your car. Then you're also going to receive 5 cards that are business-size cards to place in your pocket or your wallet that says, come to the fountain. It's an invitation card. So when you let someone in front of you at the grocery store, you can say, hey, by the way, I'd like to invite you to church. It's ingenious, isn't it? When you go to Starbucks and you get your coffee, if you got $7 left over, you can pay for the guy behind you. And you can, at the window, you can tell them at Starbucks or wherever, they'll do it almost any place. Say, hey, would you give this card to the person that I just paid for their meal and tell them God loves them? Hand them the card. Car pulls up. Say, yep, person up there paid for your meal. Give them the card. Hundreds of ways to use this. Hundreds of ways. But it's, and if you use them all, then you can come back and you can get more. But they're nice cards, and it just says the address, the service times, and a place where you belong. Won't you come and join me for church? Give those out. So that's what we're going to do. Now, include, part 3. Include. And this is everybody's job. When someone comes in, we used to call them visitors. Now you don't call them visitors anymore. You call them guests. So when a guest, and I understand, okay, are there guests with us this morning? Might just be as so, we're all home folk. Oh, guest, welcome. God bless you. Anything? Welcome. Don't want to embarrass you, but come maybe, I hope it's not an awkward time, but our job is to make those folks feel welcome. Right? That's, we got to create in here a welcoming environment. That's everybody's job. Include. Invest, invite, and include. Three of the most important moments in a Sunday morning worship experience are the 3 minutes after amen. Stay with me. The 3 minutes after amen. Don't rush out. And it's a little hard for us to do now because of the merge, but identify those that are our guests and say, I am so glad that you were here. My name is Joe. What's yours? Make them feel welcome. Love them. People are not necessarily looking. Everybody says, I'm looking for a friendly church. Let me translate that for you. I'm looking for a friend. So we got to include when someone comes. We got to welcome them. We got to let them know that God loves them and that we're prepared to. And that this is a place where they can be safe and where they can belong and where they can put down roots and begin to serve and have purpose in life. Get to know some wonderful people. And if they don't know Jesus, this is a place where He can be found. Invest, invite, include. Let's look at this video. Pay close attention. Not very often.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show. And I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like 5 phone numbers for him and an email address. He was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen. You recognize who that was? Yeah, Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller. You know, it's not often that a pastor uses an atheist to make a point, but he makes a powerful point. He says, proselytize, we can put in the word evangelize. But how much, he says, how much must you hate someone to have the message of life and to allow them to die an eternal death? Might want to just soften it a bit and say, how little do you have to care to let a loved one miss heaven? To miss heaven. If we say we care and we believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell as we do, then how can we possibly not do everything within our power to share that message? It's like this. The world suffers from a terminal illness. It's out there everywhere. You'll come into contact today with dozens of people who have a terminal illness. And we know the cure. We know it. In this illustration, if it was a literal, physical, terminal illness, and we had the cure, or say if everyone had suddenly been poisoned, and we had the antidote, how little would we have to care to not say, this is it. This is your healing. This will make you whole. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Acts 20:24. I wrap this up. The Apostle Paul. Luke says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Let us receive that task as our own. For you see, the world is sick with sin. And the scripture says that the result of sin is death. And we know the cure. We know the cure. Came on the cross of Calvary, where the sinless one perfect man and perfect God, gave his life for you and me. Was dead and buried, but rose again with salvation for all. Invest. Invite. And we'll include. You see, it truly is a matter of life and death. Let's stand on our feet.